starting this morning. But before we get there, I want to just talk to you, just remind you on the sermon series that we're doing right now. Faith is a journey. The journey of faith is a series that we're going through. And how many of you know that faith is a journey that you in which you set out into unknown terrain? You have no idea what's ahead. You know that you're just setting out on that terrain. But that terrain is grounded upon the promises of a faithful God. And so you're choosing to step out into faith, and you're choosing to walk this journey of faith, going without knowing what it looks like, and you're able to go knowing that you are grounded upon the promises of a God who will not fail you, has never failed, and will never fail you. You see, something incredible happens when we give our lives to Christ. There's something the Bible talks about. We actually, in that moment, are united with Christ. That when you choose Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, and you receive that gift of grace in your life, and you say, God, I want you to be the Lord of my life, in that moment, you and your salvation moment, your life is united with Christ. You have become one with Jesus Christ. And so when you set out on this journey of faith, you're not setting out on this journey by yourself. You're setting out on this journey knowing that you walk and take every step one with Jesus Christ. He walks this journey with you. You don't know where you're going, but you're trusting that He is the sovereign and that He is leading you to exactly where He is destined for you, that He is leading you home. And so here we are, we're walking with Jesus Christ on this journey, not knowing where it's headed. We're not jumping up ahead of Him, we're not lagging behind, but we're in step with what He's doing, caught up in what He's doing. In Mark, I believe it says that we are to take up our cross, and Jesus says that we are to take up our cross and to follow Him. That word there means not to jump out ahead, and it doesn't mean to walk behind Jesus. It means to walk side by side, hip to hip, in step with what God is doing, with what Jesus is doing. And so you and I as believers were called to share the same road as Jesus, to walk this journey of faith. And how many of you know that this journey of faith, it covers all types of different terrain? You don't know what it looks like tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to look different than yesterday. But there are times when we choose that when we follow the same road as Christ, along this journey with Christ, we're led into seasons where we travel through the terrain of suffering. And so our faith is a faith that at times suffers. Our faith suffers. Suffering is a difficult topic to cover, but I believe it's absolutely vital to our spiritual journey, to our faith journey, to where we are as the people of God. To cover this is essential for us as believers. And I've always been amazed at suffering in Scripture. You go through passages in the New Testament and you see just the overwhelming rejoicing that they had when they talked about suffering and their past sufferings. There's this almost an affection for suffering, not in the suffering itself, but in the result of the suffering. What is the byproduct of our suffering? And so the early church, when they write about suffering, you see so much of it in the New Testament. You see that there's really a lot of beauty that's associated with suffering. There's a lot of beauty that is associated with suffering. And the truth of the matter is that we're all going to experience suffering in our lives. It's something that is an inevitability, a reality that is for all of us, that we all are going to suffer at times in our life. And the way I'm going to suffer is not going to look like the way that you've suffered before. And you're going to suffer in a way that doesn't look like the way I suffer. We all suffer in different contexts, right? The way we suffer here in America isn't anything like people suffer in third world countries. But suffering is suffering. Suffering is going through something that you don't want to go through, where it's caused with there's pain and there's this frustration and doubt and fear and panic and all these things that consume you in the midst of suffering. But suffering is part of the journey that we all must take, and one of the reasons why we all must at times suffer also is because of our unity with Christ. Because we're one with Christ, we are called to share the same road as Him. And the road that Jesus took was not an easy path, but it traveled the terrain of suffering. Jesus walked the road of suffering, and we are called as His people to follow and to share the same road as him. And so we are given this beautiful example in Jesus of suffering, and we're also given the preparation that we can all be ready and prepared for when suffering comes. And so I want you to leave here being assured of this. That 1 Peter 2:21 tells us that Jesus is our example of how we are to endure suffering faithfully. Jesus is the example that we have. In chapter 2, verse 21, it says, Jesus, having suffered for us, leaves us this example so that we might follow in his steps. All right, so we get this understanding that suffering is part of the journey of walking with Christ. It's part of this traveling, this journey of faith, that suffering is going to come. But we have this Jesus who suffered for our sake, who leaves us a perfect example so that we might follow in his steps. How to endure suffering faithfully. The framework of how we're supposed to suffer, the perspective that we're supposed to take in our suffering. And secondly, he is our hope in the midst of suffering. Jesus is the living hope that we grasp a hold of in the midst of suffering. One theologian puts it this way, that suffering is a normal experience for all Christians because the world is to them an alien land. It must be borne patiently and steadfastly, even with rejoicing, for it occurs under the providential hand of God, and it brings blessings with it and gives assurance of sharing Christ's future glory. Suffering is an inevitability as we journey out on this path. It's a part of our journey. We are people who are descendants of a fallen and broken world. Sin has corrupted this land. Sin has corrupted this world, has distorted everything that God made perfect. And here we are. We are the recipients of being descendants of a fallen and broken world. And so suffering is going to come and befall on all of us. We live in a cruel and unjust world, but the bottom line is that the suffering lies in the hands of a loving and perfectly just God. The end result rests in his hands. It's founded upon his promises. And the example that Jesus Christ himself gives to us is that though he suffered while he was being righteous, and he's perfectly righteous, he was vindicated by God. That in the end result, God made right the wrong. And so Jesus gives us this example in chapter 2, verse 21. When Jesus suffered, it says, Jesus continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. He continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. And so, yes, we all have suffering that is going to befall on us simply because of our proximity in this land and being descendants of a broken and fallen world. And the example that Jesus leads us with, the example that Jesus gives to us that we are to follow in his footsteps, is that we are to entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly. And this is where our faith comes to a head, isn't it? This is where our faith really comes to a crossroads. And this is where our faith is tested and made genuine. As you're faced with the crossroads of suffering, there's one of two ways that you can go. It could cause you to turn to God and say, God, you're my only hope, and I trust you alone. Or you can grumble and complain about the suffering and say, why is this happening to me? This isn't unfair. I don't deserve this. I did nothing to deserve this. And it turns you away from God and it causes you to curse him. It's a crossroads. It's a one way or the other kind of direction that you're going to go, where you say, God, this suffering that I'm experiencing, it's all encompassing. It's all around me. I don't even see any direction out of here. But God, I know that step in front of me that I cannot see is provided by you. And your sovereign hand is going to lead me, and your sovereign hand is going to guide me, and your sovereign hand is going to hold me and uphold me. And I trust you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8 says this. This is where Peter is kind of giving the church a framework to understand suffering. He's saying, he's laying it out here. He says, I want you to look at it through this vantage point. This is essential for all of us, he says. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he caused you and I to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and is kept in heaven for you. You who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. He says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, and if necessary, you've been grieved by many various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's good news. And here's the framework that Peter's laying out for us. Here's the framework, the vantage point that we're supposed to see suffering is that we have been born again into a living hope, not a dead hope, not a wishful hope, but a confident expectation that God is who He says He is and that He will make true on His promises. This is the living hope that you and I live into. This is what we've been born into. I was repeating again with the first service that what Jesus did on the cross through His death and His resurrection is that He brought a future hope and brought it into our present reality. It's something that is applicable to you and I now, something that we can grab a hold of, something that we can live by. It's our living hope here in the now because Jesus took something that was in the future and brought it into a present for you and I so that we can put our trust and our hope and our faith in Him. And so Peter says, look at the context here of suffering. You are being protected by the power of God through faith. This is the context of suffering. You are being protected by God through your faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And he goes on and says, in this you rejoice. Don't rejoice in the suffering itself. Don't rejoice in the garbage. Rejoice in the truth. Rejoice in the truth coming through. Even now, that you had to suffer various trials so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Number one, you're being protected by the power of God right now through your faith in Him. Let that just sink into the deepest parts of your being. You are being protected. And the second thing is that the living hope that you have, that we have through Jesus Christ, is that our suffering is not without point and that our suffering is not without value. But it is working a genuineness of our faith. It's a testing of our faith so that it may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. That through times of suffering, your faith is being refined. As you go through the fires of affliction, it's being refined. You are being refined. That feeling where you're consumed with helplessness, right? We all know what suffering looks like. It's in a different context for all of us. That feeling of being helpless and fearful and doubtful and just in terror and panic. It's in those moments that your faith is tested to be pure and true and genuine. Will I choose you, God? Will my perspective be on the living hope that I have in you? Will it be founded upon your firm promises that you made? Will I place my trust in you and you alone, not on earthly things, not on things that will help me get through the suffering, that I feel will help me get through the suffering, but God, will I put my trust in you alone? Do I trust that step, though I can't see anything else around me but suffering, though is that step in front of me? Yes, I believe it is, God, because you say it's there. You say that you're walking this journey with me. You say that I'm walking with you. You say that we're doing this together. And so I'm trusting you for that step in front of me. You see, faith is the capacity to recognize that in any situation, any circumstance that you find yourself in, that God intends to do something about it. And that something is not just any ordinary something. That something that He's going to do is based upon who He is as a God and a person and the promises that He's made to those who are His. And so faith is saying, I recognize, God, that my situation sucks right now. That all I can see right now is just horror and terror, and it doesn't look like there's any way out of it. But God, you are faithful. God, you are just. You are perfectly righteous. You are the one that I have been attached to. You've united me with yourself. And so therefore, God, I'm going to take the next step and the next step and the next step on this journey, trusting who you say you are. Faith says, whatever is in front of me, whatever it is that I'm facing right now, the truth remains the truth. And there's nothing, there is nothing that can take that away. Nothing that can take that away. Peter even says that it's at this point where you are entrusting your soul to a faithful Creator. I love that. Think about that for a second. You're entrusting your soul to a faithful Creator. Think about God for a moment and His faithfulness in creation, right? Here's a God who created the universe, and He placed the stars and the planets, and it's circulating, and it's revolving around the sun. Everything is fixed perfectly in place. Look at the faithfulness of God in His creation. Look how He's upheld creation. Look at how the natural laws that are taking place in nature and in creation. Look at His faithfulness in His creation. And now entrust your soul to the one that made all of that. And not only the one who made all of that, but is still sustaining that. Who still got it all in His grasp, in His hand. He hasn't let the universe go into chaos, but He brought order and beauty to the chaos. Entrust your soul to a faithful Creator. So in some way, suffering we experience on this journey of faith has a sanctifying effect. It has this ability to change us and mold us and transform us into the likeness of Christ. James talks about it in chapter 1, verse 2. He says, guys, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of all these different kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith is producing a steadfastness, and so let that steadfastness have its full effect, so that you may be found perfect and complete, and lacking in nothing. So there's this refinement process. Your faith undergoes this refinement process through suffering that is needed for our maturity and our spiritual growth. But there's so much more to it than that. And this is what I want you to grasp a hold of. Yes, it has a sanctifying effect. Yes, that's good. It's awesome. It's beautiful. But when you see the early church write and talk about suffering, and when you study early pastors and monks who were talking about suffering, you see that there's something about it that is just a welcoming. There's an affection towards suffering. Again, not in the suffering itself, but in the result of the suffering. The reason they spoke so highly of suffering is because they understood that suffering would bring them closer to Christ. And above everything else, this is what is to be attained. Above everything else, if I can be rewarded by knowing my Savior on a more deeper and intimate and personal way, then that's what I desire. More than anything else, it's to experience a oneness with my Creator that I cannot experience any other way than the context of suffering. Peter says, rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's suffering, so that you may also rejoice when His glory is revealed. Rejoice that you get to share in sufferings, because Christ had to endure suffering. You get to partake in something that He partook in. You get to experience what it means to suffer because Christ got to experience when He suffered. And so you're sharing in a fellowship with Him that can only be understood, can only be attained as you walk through the journey of faith through suffering. And Paul uses the similar language in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, where it's almost like he's welcoming the fellowship of suffering. Paul says, that I may know Christ. That I may know Christ. This is it. This is the pinnacle. I want to know Christ above all else. I want to experience the abiding presence of my Savior in my life. I want to know him like I've never known him before. I want to share with him. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of suffering, of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. It was about fellowshipping with Christ that can only be experienced no other way but through the anguish and the brokenness that we experience in suffering, where you are absolutely at the end of your rope and dependent upon the your faith in a loving Savior to see you through it, in a faithful God to see you through it. I want to know Christ. This is it. This is the most important part about suffering. It's experiencing the abiding presence of Jesus Christ with you every step of the way. That's it. That's for the joy. That's the rejoicing. Rejoice in this, that I may know Christ and that I may fellowship and share in his suffering. That word fellowship there is koinonia, koinonia, and it means to participate in a common union with him. It's to participate and to partake in something that Jesus had to partake in. We're bonding in a sense. Unlike we've never, in a way that we've never bonded before. As we're sharing the same road as Christ, as we're walking this journey of faith with him in step, not in front of him, not behind him, but in step with him, there's a bonding that takes place, a fleshing out of this oneness with our Creator that we get to experience. And this is what Peter and Paul, they're saying, is that this is what is to be experienced. This is the joy in it. Experience the abiding presence of my King with me every step of the way. Knowing that he's not removed from our pain and our anguish and our suffering, but he chose to enter into our pain. He chose to enter into our brokenness. Chose to enter into our anguish and our terror and our despair so that we could experience his abiding presence. So that we could know what it means to have God with us. So that we can know what it means to experience God even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. To know God in those moments is to know the truth. My theology professor once said that to know the truth, you know the truth when you've experienced it and it hurts and it leaves you wanting more. This is the blessing that suffering yields. Suffering offers you the blessing of experiencing God in all of his fullness. Because you are at the end of your rope, you're depleted of energy, you're depleted of mind space, you're depleted of all natural earthly resources, you're depleted of your own physical and spiritual and emotional strength. You are completely depleted, and so then you just basically say, God, you are my firm foundation that I will stand upon, and I trust you today. I trust you for today, and then I'm going to wake up and I'm going to trust you for tomorrow, and then I'm going to trust you for the next day. This is the blessing that suffering yields. And I've heard from people say that when you're in suffering, you're in a season of suffering, that's the last thing you want to hear, is that there's purpose and there's actually something good that can come as a result of this. I think that is garbage. That is exactly what I need to hear in the moment of suffering. That's the exact hopeful words that I need to hear on repeat all during my time of suffering. I need to hear that God loves me and that he is with me and that in times of suffering that his strength is going to be my strength. And at the end of the result is going to be his glory somehow, some way. That he's going to be glorified through it all. And as we walk through the journey of suffering, we end up finding ourselves drawing on him for companionship. We're drawing from his companionship. We're drawing from his relationship that we can only experience as we partake in something that he had to partake in. And we're drawing from his wisdom and we're drawing from his freedom that he's given us. And we're reminded and reminded again and again and again and again that God is with us. Now it's important that I say this, that Scripture has given us the ability to be prepared for suffering, right? Don't go and look for suffering. Don't go and look for suffering. It's just a natural inevitability of being descendants in a fallen world, in a broken world. It's coming. But you can be prepared for it when it comes. You can be prepared for it when it comes. Anthony, could I invite you and the worship team to come on up, please, and join me up here? Turn with me to chapter 5 of 1 Peter. And we're going to wrap it up here this morning. And I want you to leave again remembering those two things. That not only is Jesus Christ the example that goes before us and teaches us how to suffer faithfully, which means that you entrust your soul to the one who judges justly. That's it. I'm going to trust you, God, with this. I'm going to trust you with this. Because you are faithful and you've never let me down and you will never let me down again. And your word says that I am in you and you are in me. So I trust you. I may not have any other words to say to you right now, God. I cannot even conjure up the thoughts that are going through my mind in the midst of the suffering except the fact that I trust you. That's it. I trust you. You know what? That's enough. That's enough. Because it says that God is protecting you. His power is protecting you through your faith. You are protected by His power. And so we can leave here with these amazing words of hope found in chapter 5, verse 10 through 11. It says this, Peter says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, the God of all unmerited favor, the God of who showers His goodness upon you even though you and I don't deserve it. That God. Who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus. He Himself will restore you and confirm you, strengthen and establish you." Those are powerful words right there. Because what He's saying is here is that you are going to experience God bring restoration in your life. That even though you suffered for a little while, you are going to experience, as you place your faith in Him, you are going to experience the living God restore you, mend you, repair you. You're going to experience Him confirm you, which means that you're going to experience God set your feet in a fixed place, anchored in Him. And you're going to experience this God strengthen you. He's going to make you able to do what you never thought possible. And you're going to experience this God establish you, which means that He's going to settle you. That word means to settle your spirit, to settle you down, to give you rest in the moments of the storm. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore you, confirm you, strengthen and establish you. To Him be all the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, when we're suffering, we often feel as though our pain is never going to end, that it's just all-encompassing. And what Peter is saying here in this last bit is that he's providing us with a much wider perspective, that this is just a light and momentary thing. That in the span of eternity, if you just zoomed out and you saw your life on a fixed line in the span of eternity, and you see that time in which you experienced suffering, if you look through it in the span of eternity, no end, no beginning, right? With me? It's just a little boop. A little boop. It's minuscule in the grand scheme of what God is doing in your life. Suffering will only last a little while. Without faith in the person of God, there is no hope in suffering. Without hope, there is no purpose. So I don't know where you are today. You may be finding yourself along that part of the journey where it's suffering. Suffering that leans on God is filled with hope. He is your hope. He sustains you. He strengthens you. He gives you what you need in the moment for each and every step. Suffering that leans on God is filled with hope because you're forced to take your eyes off of your own earthly dependency, your own physical strength and spiritual strength, and you say, God, you got to uphold me right here. This is all you. I want to see you. I want to experience the glory of your goodness in the midst of my suffering. Experience who you are and what you said you're going to do here and now. I place my faith and my trust and my hope that you are who you say you are. And I don't see any other path right now. God, I trust you right now. I trust you right now. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray right now, and then Anthony's going to lead us into that song that we started out. I want you to remember again, if you can just bow your head, close your eyes, and just be in the presence of God right here. This is it. It's about encountering the presence of God. Suffering every single day, whatever terrain you find yourself on this journey of faith, it is. Be assured that you are traveling this terrain with Christ. It's in this moment that you can experience the abiding presence of your God with you, and to know and be assured that you don't go through this by yourself. God knew what he was doing, and he chose to enter into our pain. He chose to enter into our suffering so that he could walk through it with you when you got here. So let today be a day in where you choose again to trust in the living hope that you've been born into. That God, I choose to trust in the living hope that you say that I am in. And God, I don't know how it all is going to work out. I don't see it all. But Lord God, you are on the other side of this. You're with me in it. You're on the other side of this. You're already in eternity. And this is just a small blip on the radar. And so, God, I can now be at rest and experience your abiding presence in this moment. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you today as your people in this alien land. And Lord, God, I thank you that it's your presence that calms the raging seas within our troubled hearts. In Scripture, you tell us that it's your voice, and when you speak, the storm is forced to come to rest. Lord, blessed is the man and the woman whose faith is in our God. We are blessed because of our faith in you. Thank you that your power is protecting us through our faith in this moment. Lord God, we choose today to say, I trust you. My hope is in you and you alone. And so, Lord God, take this time. Take this time. Do a work within my spirit that you would like to do. I trust you, Lord God, that tomorrow you will be with me, that today you're with me, the next step, and so on and so on. You will be there with me. You will never leave me, and you will never forsake me. God, I thank you. Thank you are the one who lifts up my head when I'm in the lowest of places. Lord God, it is you and you alone that I trust.
Ever come close, nothing can compare.